You're listening to In My Opinion on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Denton Day.
Returning In My Opinion with Denton Day at The Denton Day on Twitter. College football is under 2 weeks away, which means we are under 2 weeks away from hearing the voice of this man, Brad Nessler, play-by-play man for the SEC on CBS, kind enough to give us a few moments here on In My Opinion with Denton Day. He joins via the Progressive guest line. Brad, what's happening, my friend? How are you?
Hey, Denton, I guess I have to get ready. You told me it's getting close, so you know, every day when I'm out on the street now, somebody is saying, are you ready for football? They've been asking me for a month, and when my wife's with me, she gives me that roll of the eyes, like, could you leave him alone for a couple more weeks, please? But, yeah, we're all getting ready to go. We got to get after it pretty soon.
Well, I won't ask you that question, but I will ask you, how ready are you for fans to be back in the stadium?
Oh, man, it's going to be great. I mean, you know, we had limited fans last year at times. I had two games where there were nothing but cardboard cutouts. You know, no bands, no cheerleaders, no pageantry, none of the things that we are usually encountering, you know, not just on Saturday, but really from Thursday when we get there for practice until we leave on either Saturday night or Sunday morning. So the whole experience is going to be so much better, and I know we're still kind of locked in some issues, you know, with the Delta variant and all that, but at least from our standpoint and what they've told us, our protocol will be a little less stringent than it was last year. It was terrible because we couldn't even get together as a group. I mean, we did everything on Zoom, all our meetings, you know, just with our team, the truck and the producer and director, and all our meetings were done that way, and that was not a lot of fun compared to past seasons. And, you know, just from the social aspect of it, I mean, I really, really love what I do, but I love my teammates, you know, at CBS, and I mean, we get together and go out to dinner, and that, you know, that's part of the whole trip, and we didn't do any of that last year. We were confined to our rooms, and so we showed up. We would see each other. Gary and I wouldn't see each other until we went to the booth, and I wouldn't see Jamie until she was heading to the sideline. So it was pretty strange. So just getting back to some sort of normalcy from that respect is going to be a lot more fun, too.
As we get closer to the season, is there a particular venue? Like, let's paint the picture. It's a night game. Your team is there. The stadium is packed. Which is your preferred stadium? Do you have a favorite stadium to call a great night game where the atmosphere is just jumping?
Well, it's pretty crazy at LSU. Everybody, I guess, always says that. I mean, all the places are very cool now because of their night games. So many of the stadiums have installed the ribbon lighting and all of that stuff, you know, for the end of the third quarter. So it's like you're at a gigantic concert, you know, in some of those places and some of the stadiums. I mean, LSU at night's pretty special because everybody shows up there Thursday afternoon at the latest. And let's say that they don't pull any punches on their partying. They don't lose many parties, and they don't at Ole Miss either. I mean, I can go right down a list in the SEC, and every place has its special spots and its special moments. But nighttime at Death Valley at Tiger Stadium is a little bit different.
Brad Nessler, my guest, you're on In My Opinion with Denton Day, play-by-play man for the SEC on CBS. Brad, the conference has been dominating headlines over the last 2 weeks. The big news, Oklahoma and Texas will eventually make the jump into the SEC. I know that's a few years down the road, but how do you think those two schools will fit in the conference?
I think they'll fit great. Texas has not been the Texas that you know, I grew up with when they were dominating college football for the most part. Oklahoma has been right there every year in the playoffs. I did a lot of those Red River rivalry games, and I loved it at the State Fair of Texas. You know, so just having those two in the conference is going to be very different. But the fact that some of the old rivalries will be back, too, like, you know, Texas and Texas A&M, and I did that a lot of times, too, and that was a really fun ball game. So the fact that you have two well-known powerhouses, at least in name, and coming into the conference just makes it that much more dynamic. I know it's going to change, you know, the course of what we see in the next couple of years. It may be a lot quicker than that. And, you know, with the Pac-12 and the ACC, and the Big Ten already having some chats behind the scenes, or maybe not so behind the scenes. It's going to change the landscape of college football completely. And, you know, I think we're headed to maybe it's not even good. I always thought it'd be four major conferences, you know, just to make up 64 or whatever. But it might not even be four. It might end up being maybe 2.5 or something like that. I don't know. It, you know, it's all going to shake out eventually. But there's a lot more. This is far from over with. But having those two teams in the SEC sure makes the SEC look good. That's for sure.
Final question before we actually preview the teams that are in the conference this year. As you mentioned, it seems like super conferences are right around the horizon. We have NIL in college football as well. Is there any part of you that fears the potential of the sport being more about the money than the tradition that you grew up watching, that I grew up watching, that made us love the game?
Yeah, I think we're already there, Denton. let's be honest. All this stuff's about the cash. And, you know, the expansion of the playoffs, whenever that happens and however many teams that happens to. But the coffers are going to keep piling money on this, and that's what it's all about right now. And for the kids, I feel good for them. I think that's great. I hope it doesn't open up a gigantic can of worms that you can't get the worms back in as far as recruiting. Anybody that thinks that this isn't recruiting tool is crazy already. I mean, it's... you know, Nick started that right away by saying that his quarterback might make 6 or 7 figures and he hasn't taken a snap yet. Well, when you tell the coaches in Texas that, high school coaches in Texas that, that's just telling all the kids, come to Alabama because you can make some money, man. And that's the way it's adding up right now. There's a lot of guys that are making a lot of money with the NIL. And I hope it doesn't distract from their playing. I like some of the guys like, you know, JT Daniels at Georgia has said that he's already signed on to some things with some sports card company, and he's going to split it and give half to his teammates and keep the other half. So, I mean, if you pull something like that off, I think that shows some leadership and the fact that you're not just out for the cheese, you know. But I hope it doesn't distract from a lot of these guys because it's hard enough going to practice every day. And yes, you have to go to class once in a while, and all this other stuff piled on. I wouldn't want everything that's on their plate right now on mine if I was a 19-year-old kid.
Brad Nessler, my guest here on In My Opinion with Denton Day, play-by-play man for the SEC on CBS. He joins via the Progressive guest line. Now let's look at the teams that are actually going to be taking the field in under 2 weeks. As we approach the start of the season, Brad, what's the biggest question mark you have in the conference?
Well, if Alabama can be as dominant as they have been, you just can't lose as many number one draft choices as they lost. I know we say this every year, and I guess everybody just fills in. I was just scribbling stuff down the other day, and I thought it's funny because, you know, a couple years ago I'd say, well, how are you going to replace Tua or Jalen, first Jalen, and then Tua? And then, well, how do you replace, you know, Damian Harris and Josh Jacobs? And then, well, how do you replace Henry Ruggs and Jerry Jeudy and Irv Smith? And then, well, here comes Mac, you know, Jones and Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle and Miller Forrestall and Najee Harris and Brian Robinson. And then you go, well, how do you replace those guys? Well, Bryce Young and Brian Robinson and John Metchie and, you know, on Billingsley. So, I mean, when you've got basically a factory of players and they're all just as good as the guys that preceded them, it's kind of hard not just to look at Alabama and say, wow, they're the team again. And, you know, they're number one in both the polls. And sometimes that doesn't work out for you. You know, I don't know, going back to last 60 years, I think maybe 10 times the team that's number one in the preseason ends up number one at the end. And I don't think it's happened wire to wire since one of those USC teams with either Reggie Bush or Matt Leinart or somebody. So it's hard to do. But, hey, when you're Alabama, you start there and you go from there. But the competition will be a lot of fun because Georgia should be really good. A&M should be good. And down the list, and maybe some surprises mixed in there.
What are fair expectations for Bryce Young coming in to replace Mac Jones?
You know, I watched a little bit of their spring game and everything, and that's not indicative at all of what's going to happen. And, you know, from what I hear from everybody over there, just all the tools are there. And you could see it at times, but I think that they're, you know, going to be as prolific throwing the ball around as they were a year ago, it would be hard to say that that's possible. But, hey, I didn't think this time a year ago either, you know. I got to see Mac Jones a lot in practice, and I knew that he could throw it, and I knew that the kids respected him because the years before that, you know, we go to practice, and when he's playing with the twos, or practicing with the twos, he's you know, playing with Devontae Smith and guys like that, or Waddle, or whoever. And so you can see that he had it. I hadn't had a chance. I haven't really had a chance to watch Bryce Young enough because I wasn't able to go to practice last year and stuff. So and the jury's out for me on a lot of these guys, even the guys that are veterans, like JT Daniels, you know, had a great 1 month last year when they finally let him play. And he was sensational. But does that make him a, you know, preseason second team all SEC guy? I don't know. But it was just a month. So we'll see what we can do over 3 months.
Talking SEC football with Brad Nessler here on In My Opinion with Denton Day. Now, Georgia's an interesting team to me, Brad, because they do have JT Daniels, a guy that got some playing time last year. When you look at the landscape of the five teams that we think are going to be really good, Bama, Clemson, Ohio State, all making switches at quarterback, do you think that opens the door for Georgia to finally, after decades and decades and decades, get atop the college football mountain again and win a national championship?
I think that it's getting to the point, Denton, where, you know, I live in Georgia, so I have to listen to Georgia fans all the time. But if not this year, when? You know, and they've been getting closer and closer to that. And every year that, you know, they're in that potential top five area or make the playoffs, a little bit more pressure gets added onto Kirby Smart. And this year, you know, there shouldn't be any excuses. Last year was, well, we didn't really have a quarterback. You know, JT Daniels was probably fourth string when they went into spring because, you know, either guy's leaving for COVID reasons or you end up playing with your third string quarterback, fourth string quarterback, whatever the case might be. Now they've got an established guy there, and they've got the skill position players, I think, even though they won't have George Pickens. But I don't think that's going to matter if they get everybody else back. Right now they're banged up at wide receiver. But, you know, this should be his best team. You know, with the exception of a couple of questions in the secondary. And so the natives are getting restless in Georgia. It's like, okay, let's win the national title. Otherwise, you know, maybe we're never going to win one. And so that's the way it is right now around here.
Brad, I'll get you out of here with this. A couple of years ago, LSU kind of just bursted out onto the scene with the Joe Burrow team, and they were one of the best teams that we've ever seen in college football. Is there anybody in the conference this year that you think has the potential to burst out on the scene and really surprise people?
That's a really good question. I don't think so, to be honest with you. Like I said, that, you know, A&M, if they still had Kellen Mond, I'd say they would be a team that maybe could do that. You know, Alabama's still the team to catch. Georgia's the next best. Florida, I thought last year, would win the East. This year, I don't think they will. And they shocked me, too. Don't get me wrong. I thought they were awesome. And Kyle Trask was, like, beyond expectations, too. So, you know, Ole Miss is going to be able to score points. I don't know if they can stop anybody. And, you know, you go down the list and you try to pick out some other teams and go, well, there's a sleeper. I don't know. I'm having a hard time finding a sleeper even in the top 10, you know, unless you look at maybe somebody like Iowa State, you know, that their backfield quarterback and running back situation is probably as good as anybody in their conference other than that's not named Oklahoma. So, you know, looking at the top 15 or whatever in the whole country, I still don't see a whole bunch of sleepers. I think North Carolina's going to be good. But I still think it's the rich get richer, Denton, and I think we're going to see more of the same this year.
Brad, can't tell you how much I appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of the free time, if you will, until the season starts. I look forward to doing this again soon.
You got it, Dan. Have a good day, bud.
That is Brad Nessler, the play-by-play man for the SEC on CBS, kind enough to give us a few moments here on In My Opinion with Denton Day, joining via the Progressive guest line. Great insight there from Brad. Every time I talk to a big college football guy, it really gets my blood pumping for this sport because, again, we're under 2 weeks away from the start of the college football season, and it cannot get here soon enough. Coming up, we'll take one final look at our poll question. Still a little bit of time to go vote on it at SportsMap Radio. How do you eat your banana, peeled or unpeeled? We'll look at that as we wrap the program next.